this conference has probably been defined by two things: strength in the face of adversity and the exceptionally high quality of our speakers. However, I have to say, we have probably saved the best to last. Now, we all know who is the last speaker. It's Laura Towler. And 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 Laura doesn't really need an introduction, and we are short on time, but she's going to get one anyway. Laura is the most competent, resilient, and passionate person I have ever met in my life. And during my life, I have a long list of mistakes that I have made. But one thing which certainly wasn't a mistake, in fact, possibly the best decision, or one of the best decisions I ever made, was appointing Laura as my deputy, because she truly is the best of what we have to offer.
Wow. I can't believe you all did that. I'm so embarrassed. Thank you very much. Okay, so my speech today is about the butterfly effect. So all of us are here today because we understand the current trajectory that Great Britain and the West in general is on, and I'd like to give an overview in a handful of sentences. I apologise that I start my speech with something negative, and I hope you find my speech today to be positive and proactive. But in order to talk about action, I must first explain what our action must be in response to. We've lived on these islands for thousands of years, but as each day passes in the present, we become a smaller and smaller percentage of the overall population of our home as a result of the deliberate demographic replacement of our people. We are discriminated against on a daily basis, being the only race who can advocate for ourselves without being told that we must therefore hate everybody else. At best, we lose out on careers, opportunities, and pay due to diversity quotas, and we rarely identify with those we see on TV. At worst, the horrific abuse and murder of our people is ignored or covered up by the state and media. And those of us who highlight atrocities like those of Richard Everett, Ross Parker, Chris Donald, Aaron Dugmore, Ben Hitchcock, Christopher Yates, or Lucy Lowe, just to name a few, are labelled sickening and cynical for bringing it up. They say we have a conservative government, but the only thing they care to conserve is global capitalism, the protection of big business, and the continuous import of cheap foreign labour in order to undercut and undermine the native population. Our ability to organise or even discuss the crisis we face has been taken from us under the guise of hate speech and extremism. And whether or not the facts we share are labelled a conspiracy theory or not depends on whether we support or oppose them. We edge towards a country that will label you a terrorist if your views sit outside a very narrow list of establishment-approved opinions. Perhaps we're already there. Those in power have already decided, without ever asking us, where we're headed and what our future will be. But how did we get here? What on earth happened that led us to where we are today? History books tell us that in the summer of 1914, an event took place that would change the course of Europe forever. On the 28th of June, a Bosnian Serb student named Gavrilo Princip fatally shot at close range the heir presumptive to the Austro-Hungarian throne, Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria. Austria-Hungary blamed the Serbian government for the attack, and exactly 1 month later, they declared war on Serbia. Yes, please. Thank you. So this was, of course, the start of the First World War, a war that would result in conflict and instability across the continent for many decades to come. Gavrilo Princip could never have known that his bullets would result in such outcomes as the Treaty of Versailles and the rise of National Socialism in Germany, the outbreak of the Second World War that would result in around 80 million deaths, Israel's establishment as an independent state in 1948, the division of East and West Germany and the 45-year Cold War, and ultimately the collapse of communism, the fall of the Berlin Wall and the breakup of Yugoslavia, all events which contributed to the situation we find ourselves in today. We're told that we can't be nationalists and we can't, and there can't be no collectivisation for white people, because remember what happened the last time there was. What I'm referring to here is known as the butterfly effect, the theory that one small action, often as delicate as the flutter of a butterfly's wings, can set off a chain of monumental events that will change the course of history forever. In spring of last year, another butterfly fluttered its wings as a black criminal named George Floyd died while high on drugs and resisting arrest in Minnesota, USA. Floyd's death wasn't swept under the carpet like the deaths of those I mentioned earlier. Instead, Floyd's death, or to be more accurate, the system's response to Floyd's death, set off a chain of events that would result in widespread riots, looting and violence across the Western world, and the mass-scale racial awakening of our people in response. Because of censorship, there is little discourse left on social media sites like Facebook and Twitter, apart from the utterly predictable and infantile nonsense of the pawns and devotees of the system. And if you're anything like me, I cannot stand these people. Journalists, independent researchers, and fact-checkers, with no agency to ever scratch below the surface, and whose investigative journey involves being so courageous as to cite a quote from Hope Not Hate. FBPE midwits, educated and cowardly enough to know that they're supposed to hate themselves, but never quite educated enough to understand how ridiculous they look to the rest of us when they pretend not to understand what the word British means. And Antifa cowards with their Che Guevara t-shirts and Starbucks coffees, calling themselves the real revolutionaries while they parrot exactly the same politics as Netflix, Disney and Burger King. But underneath this manufactured facade of fake public opinion lies the majority, lies common sense, lies decency, lies nature, lies us. If we have one flaw as a people, it's our kindness. It's that we are too empathetic, too polite, and too forgiving, often to the detriment of our own safety and success. But while many of our people bite their tongues and persevere a little longer, a new paradigm is beginning to bubble and stir below the surface. Because the shameless lies, the downright hypocrisy, and the heartless attacks in the aftermath of George Floyd's death are too much for even the least confrontational of our people not to notice. Every apparatus of the system has been telling us enthusiastically for almost a year and a half now that black people are victimised by the police, that systemic racism prevails. Yet the system's very own statistics tell us a different story. Black people are in fact underrepresented in police killings compared to how much crime they commit. White people, on the other hand, are overrepresented in the same category, despite the majority of police officers being white. The very same figures tell us that you're twice as likely to be a police officer killed by a black man than you are a black man killed by a police officer. They tell us that in the United States, at least 70% of black people who are murdered by other black people. And only 10% of black people who are murdered by white people. More black people murder white people than white people murder black people. And all of this, of course, is in a country where the white population is five times that of the black population. The evidence shows us that as a matter of statistical reality, black lives matter significantly less to other black people than they do to anybody else. Black people are actually safer around white people than they are their own people. But but every politician, every celebrity, every newspaper will tell you that the exact opposite of the truth is true. They feed us lie upon lie upon lie and then censor and deplatform any evidence to the contrary. Even those of our people who haven't looked up these figures are still aware of the anti-white agenda and the manufactured racial resentment on a more intuitive level. They've seen our shops looted, our statues pulled down, and our flags set on fire. They understand by now that whites must be held collectively responsible for the historical crimes of all whites, while blacks aren't even held responsible for the crimes they commit today. They understand that whenever a black person does something bad, well, that's the fault of white people. And whenever a black person does something good, well, that's definitely his own work. They may even understand that when a white person does something good, that's probably thanks to black people as well. They built the NHS and the pyramids, don't you know? Who can forget the Euros of this year when England made it to the final thanks to diversity and multiculturalism, or so they said. Thank God for open borders, they said. There'd be no football trophies without immigration, they said. But then when three black players missed their penalties in the final and questions were asked about whether diversity had now in fact lost us the cup, well, out comes Amy Sharp at the Sunday Mirror to condemn such vile racist abuse. And why would you even notice what race the football players were anyway, you racists? The aftermath following on from George Floyd's death turned out to be the biggest ever recruitment tool for Patriotic Alternative. We were handed a monumental opportunity that we continue to capitalise on today. We still regularly get new people joining us who tell us that they woke up to race during last summer's riots. No other event over the last 2 years has brought more people to nationalism than the event I'm discussing right now. A butterfly surely did flutter its wings that day. Each of us are capable of our own butterfly effects, and many of us will already be able to identify ones that we've been part of. Did PA Scotland ever envision, as they climbed to the top of Ben Nevis this summer, just how much they'd dominate the global press for weeks to come? Did Jodie Kerr, or should I say Gemma from Cambridge, know, as she dialed the phone that day, that her call to Keir Starmer on LBC would cause public disavowals and infighting in the Labour Party? Was I to know that a single tweet about tea could result in a successful family business and a source of funding for British nationalism? And how about that leaflet that you posted through the door of that just can't help themselves but to virtue signal lefty? Did you foretell that it would result in a Twitter meltdown, a statement from their local MP or the police, and free publicity for Patriotic Alternative in the local or national press? Each week, the fraudulent media and their boring buzzwords and tiresome clichés, with their recycled quotes from tedious politicians, send thousands of new eyes our way. And it's the often small acts of each of us that triggers the starting lever each time. There are even people sat in the audience here today who made their way to Patriotic Alternative because they read about us in the press. What influence will these people have? What decisions will they make? Nationalism is greater than the individual. Each of us represents a small part in a much larger engine, a necessary engine that's working towards a mighty plan, a plan to secure a future for the British. Whether you organised the event, held the banner, took the photo or informed that journalist, your actions influenced the journey and the end result that day. You are part of a rapidly growing, dedicated community whose small actions are influencing the lives of our people tomorrow. Something that you could do this year could have huge consequences for our future. We are men of action, not men of talk. We will lead by example, not leave it to somebody else. Patriotic Alternative supporters and activists sit head and shoulders above everybody else. Each month, the activity from just one of our regions surpasses the work done by entire organisations. There is so much talent, bravery, integrity and honour in this room. And woe betide those of our adversaries who make the mistake of misrepresenting us. Because we are not to be confused with other movements of the past or present. We cannot be bought and we cannot be threatened, because there is no reward or caution they could ever offer us that comes close to the feeling of love that we have for our own. Their attempts to bog us down and distract us with petty drama will be stepped over. Their endeavours to intimidate and dox will be met with unwavering resoluteness. Their efforts to inconvenience us will result in no fruition, for our reward is much greater. Therefore, we can sit this out considerably longer than they can. No question will ever make us feel uncomfortable, for we shall always respond with the truth. No accusation will ever fill us with guilt, for we know our history more than they do. And no matter how good or bad a past or present deed, we're not sorry, and we will never allow it to be used to take our future from us. Their charges of guilt and privilege will never be dignified with a response, for they have no hold over us. And there will never be a moment in the future where we compromise, or where we accept a single hair on the head of one of our people being hurt. There will never be a time when we reconsider the right of the British to exist as a distinct group of people in our own homeland. And to those who have attacked us, lied about us, and tried to stop us, I ask you only one question. Is that all you have? For we are just getting started. So I reached my conclusion. Back in March, my husband Sam and I discovered that we were expecting our first child. A daughter who we will name Catherine, and she's expected to join us in about 7 weeks. Of course, we were over the moon when we found out, and we told our family members who were equally as excited. Upon hearing the news, a couple of family members took me to one side and asked if now was the time for me to step away from politics. Leave it to somebody else, they said. I responded that the news about my daughter had made me more determined than ever. None of us do this job for clout or money. We do this because we care about the safety, prosperity and future of our people. And now there's a very tiny, helpless and innocent person on the way who's dependent on me to keep her safe. I want my daughter to grow up in a country where she can be proud of who she is. I want her success to be based on her hard work and merit. I want her to be able to walk down the street without the risk of ogling taxi drivers and takeaway owners attempting to pick her up. I want her to live in a safe, crime-free and cohesive community. I want her to live in a nation that values dignity, self-respect and long-term happiness. Not a nation that rewards us with followers and fame for degrading ourselves on live TV. I want her to be taught to stay away from predators. And I want her to be able to speak freely and tell the truth. But most of all, I don't want her to have to do what we have to do. I don't want her to be attacked in the street, unpersoned by the banks, smeared by the media, targeted by the government, raided by the police, or risk going to prison simply for advocating for the well-being of her people. That's our burden, not hers. I repeat the first line of my speech. All of us are here today because we understand the current trajectory that Great Britain and the West in general is on. Well, I read a cheesy quote on the internet the other day, and it said, I do apologise for the cheese, just when the caterpillar thought the world was over, it became a butterfly. The path that's been set out for us may often seem hostile and forbidding, but we have the means and the wings to change it. Our actions today, no matter how small, will determine our future. Do not ever allow yourself to be in a position where you have to look your children or grandchildren in the eye and say anything other than I did everything I could. Patriotic Alternative is the vehicle we shall use to implement real change for the British people. We are the true alternative to a corrupt, perverted and broken system that is more than happy to facilitate the replacement and demise of our people. However, I honestly believe that with Patriotic Alternative, there shall be no end. With Patriotic Alternative, tomorrow we live. Thank you for listening.